Last week we looked at the laying on of hands. And we looked at that it was a touch of faith. And when the lady with the issue of blood, do you remember how she touched Jesus? It was not that she was just touching him that healed her. She was touching him in faith, because Jesus felt the power go from him. It was a touch of faith. There were loads of other people touching Jesus, because Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" The disciples said, "Well, there's lots of people touching you." But there was only one person touching him in faith. And that faith connection sort of flipped the switch so that the power of Jesus, the power of the healing, could flow through that connection and into her. And she was healed. We will understand this more and more as we continue to talk about the flowing of healing and that faith connection. Another number of observations, subsidiary observations that we made along the way. Like Mr. Chris says, that when you start on a subject, you start thinking about other things along the way, and you think they're worthy of note. So a number of things that we mentioned last week that were worthy of note is that people brought sick people to Jesus. And so often we say, well, we've got to take the gospel out to people. We've got to take the good news out to people. We'll not expect them to come to church. Well, that is true. But here they brought them to Jesus. And we need to bring the people that we know who are ill and sickly and poorly. And we need to introduce them to Jesus. If you don't want to pray for them yourselves, bring them here. I'll pray for them. Other people will pray for them. Another thing that we noticed last week is that Ananias placed his hands on Paul that he might receive his sight. Ananias was just an ordinary believer. He wasn't an apostle. He wasn't one of Jesus' original disciples. He was an ordinary believer, just like you and me. And that Saul had prayed when he was blind, and God sent Ananias as an answer to his prayer. And I just finished off last week by saying that people may be praying in their desperation. They're blind. They've got illnesses. They've got sicknesses. They're looking to God. They're pleading to God to do something about it. And God is sending us to be the answer to their prayers. And we must be willing and obedient to respond to God's prompting. That's where we were last week. This week we're going to look at the anointing with oil. James 5:13-15 says this: "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing with him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has sins, if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." And just look at one verse from Mark 6:13. "They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them." So I want you to notice that it was a practice before the cross as well as after the cross. Is anyone among you sick? Jesus does not specify this is just for a few. It's anyone. Is there anybody old amongst you sick? Well, then they should call upon the elders. If there's anybody young, they should call upon the sick. No, if anyone is sick, they should call upon the elders. Not anybody who's got flu or anybody who's at death's door. He doesn't define it. He just says, if anyone, that means anyone, is sick, that means any sickness. So if anyone is sick. Now, there are a number of preachers who don't like the way that our Bibles translate the word, the Greek word, here that is translated sick. They say it should be translated weary, and it should be, is anyone among you weary and tired spiritually? Because then the elders will pray over you, anointing you with oil, and then you'll be refreshed. And the idea, my opinion is they don't like the word sick, physical sickness, because in their experience they've not seen it. So they, in their commentaries, say, well, in my church, those people who have been physically sick, we've anointed them with oil, we've prayed for them, and they've not got well, so it can't mean physical sickness, it must mean spiritual sickness. It must be weariness, it must be those that who are drained spiritually that need praying for and refreshing. But that's not in the Bible. And the word used for sickness here, it means weak and feeble. Those that are sick. And this word, weak and feeble, is used elsewhere for people who are sick. So it's quite legitimate that the word used here, it should be sick, not just a spiritual weariness. They anointed them with oil who were sick. And in that context, the people that were sick were those who were physically sick. But then another reason why we can understand it to be physical sickness is that it was common Jewish practice at the time that if you were sick, you didn't go to the doctor because there weren't that many doctors, but if you were sick at the time, what did you do? You presented yourself to the rabbi and you asked the rabbi to pray for you and anoint you with oil. And that's what the Old Testament practice, the practice about the time of Jesus was. If you were sick, you went to the rabbi. It wasn't that you were spiritually weary and drained, you were physically sick. So there's another indication that, you know, this word should be understood as physically sick. And also, Tertullian, writing midway through the 3rd century, says no less than the person, the Roman emperor, Alexander Severus, was healed by anointing at the hands of a Christian called Troposian, and that in his gratitude he kept Troposian as a guest in his palace until the day of his death. So Tertullian, a writer in the 3rd century, was giving us some history about a Christian who had anointed a Roman emperor with oil when he was sick, and he recovered, and the Roman emperor was so grateful that he gave him a room in his palace. All right, so again, we have an indication that this is physical sickness. Now, before we make another comment, and before we move any further with this verse has been used by the Roman Catholic Church to justify the sacrament of extreme unction. What is the sacrament of extreme unction? Well, it's something that was established in AD 852. And if you are on death's door and you're a Roman Catholic, what do? You call in the Roman Catholic priest who proclaims the last rites. And what is the last rite? The supreme unction. And extreme unction, and that is, the priest will come and anoint you with oil, pray for you, and then you're ready to die. Now, this is just an example of how religion turns scripture on its head. Because this is not a scripture about praying for people who are sick and they die. This is a scripture about praying for people who are sick and they are healed. Isn't that just an example of how religion turns scripture on its head to make it mean something that it doesn't? We won't comment any further on that. Okay. So, next slide. Let him call for the elders. All right, so let him call for the elders of the church. Now, note it is on the onus of the person who is sick to call the elders of the church. And I know that some people get offended if I don't call upon them if they're sick, and oftentimes I don't realise that they are sick. I'm not a mind reader. I will always come to anybody and pray for anyone who is sick. So don't ever think that I'm too busy or got too much on my plate. If you are sick, I will gladly come and pray for you and anoint you with oil or do anything else that you want me to do for you. Just give me the call and I will come. And if I can't come, someone else will come. But I can't come unless I know. You know, there are people that have complained about me in the past that, you know, they've been ill for 6 months with pneumonia and I never went to visit them. Well, thank you very much. Well, you were here for 6 months on a Sunday evening, but you never told me. And if you'd have asked me, I'd have come and prayed for you. So I'm not a mind reader. I will come and pray for you. But notice that James says the person who is sick has to make the call. Why? Because there is an act of faith on their part. Now, I love to come and pray for people, and if I find out you're ill, I will come whether you ask me or not. But here, James is saying, look, You need to make that step of faith that if you are ill, you need to make that step of faith and call the elders to pray for you. Let them call for the elders of the church. James does not say, call the apostles. You better call them before they die, otherwise that you've missed your chance. Because a lot of people believe in cessationism, which means that the gifts of healing passed away with the New Testament apostles. He doesn't say, you better call the apostles quick before they die. He doesn't even say, call James, call me. He says, call the elders of the church. Now, who are the elders of the church in this context? I believe the elders of the church are the people who are the ones who believe. The ones in the church who have that experience perhaps of praying for people in the past, and the ones who believe that when they pray, that God is going to heal. No point in asking somebody in the church, well, will you pray for me? And they said, well, I'm not so sure. I don't know so sure whether I believe in healing or not. I was once in a church a long time ago where somebody asked the pastor to pray for them, and they said, well, they had quite serious cancer, and they said, will you pray for me that I might be healed? And they said, no, because I'm not sure that God wants to heal you. Well, go to the person who you know has got the faith for you to be healed. Those are the elders in the church. You're never going to receive a prayer of faith from somebody who doesn't believe that God heals today. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, notice that it says pray over him. It doesn't say moan or groan or whine or bawl. You know, sometimes when we come to pray for people, we say, oh Lord, you know, I'm trying to think of something. They've got a... I'm sorry, if you happen to have a bad big toe, it's not you. You know, oh Lord, they've got a bad big toe. It's as twice as big as it should normally be. It's all black and the nail's falling off and it's going to be chopped off. And Lord, if they have it chopped off, they won't be able to walk. And if they can't walk, they won't be able to go to work. And Lord, you know, have you heard those kind of prayers? Where it's all moaning and groaning and whining and, you know, no, we're just receiving the healing. Because the sun is always shining. And this way of receiving is just something that helps you receive. An anoint with oil. Again, the need to emphasize, it's not the oil that heals, it's an aid to faith. It was a symbol of abundant blessing of God's Holy Spirit. Priests were ordained with oil to show that they had the authority of the Holy Spirit. Kings were anointed with oil to show that they had the authority of the Holy Spirit. We are anointed with oil sometimes. When pastors are inducted into churches, sometimes they're anointed with oil to show that they have the authority, and bishops and what have you. But in this context, the oil, you're anointed with oil to remind you that the Holy Spirit is our healer. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. You anoint my head with oil, and it's a reminder that the Holy Spirit is abundant in his healing. The Israelites used it as a healing balm. They used it to refresh their dry skin. There is nothing magical in the oil. There is nothing magical in the oil. Just as when we come to communion, there is nothing magical in the bread. There is nothing magical in the Ribena or whatever it was tonight, the Robinson's apple and blackcurrant. There's nothing magical in it. What is it? It is an aid to faith. So when we take the bread and wine, we remember God's covenant towards us. It is an aid of faith. And when we take the Ribena, we remember the blood. We remember the blood that was shed for us so that our sins might be forgiven. It is an aid to faith. And Jesus said, do it so that you don't forget. And then here we have, the oil is an aid to faith. Just like the laying of hands was an aid to faith, you just make that connection. There is nothing, you can still receive healing without the laying of hands, but it is an aid to faith. Similar to when we kneel, when we pray, it is an aid to our faith because we are humbling ourselves before God. It's just symbolic of that. It's not the fact that we kneel that does the is somehow magical and does the trick. If we do this and we're there. No, it's an aid to faith. So the bread and the wine are an aid to faith. The oil is an aid to faith to remind us that the Holy Spirit is upon us, bringing his healing balm into our lives. The bread and wine help us remember the new covenant symbolically. The oil helps us to remember his healing, the Holy Spirit healing. The oil does not have to come from Israel. The oil does not have to come from a specially commissioned plant that has been prayed over by some rabbi or some Christian evangelist or whatever. It doesn't have to come from any special place. It doesn't have to come off out some kind of special bottle. Although I've got a special bottle, just out of convenience, actually, out of anything else. It doesn't have to have Hebrew writing on the side or anything like that. It just needs to be oil because it's just a remembrance of it. Just like when we take communion, you know, it's not the fact whether it's Warburton's white or whether it's wholemeal, whether it's Ribena or whether it's real alcoholic wine that matters. It's what it's symbolic of. In fact, I've got a little amusing story. Many of you will know Peter Hannam. He was the pastor at the Huddersfield Church for a long, long time, for 30 years or more. And he always used to tell the story of how when he went to pray for somebody and they said, will you anoint me with oil? And they were in their living room and he'd got unprepared because the phone call beforehand hadn't sort of primed him that that's what they were going to ask. And he says, I haven't got any oil. Have you got any? And they said, no. What about, you know, have you got any olive oil in your pantry cupboard? You know, she said, what do you think I do? You know, do you think I shop at Waitrose all the time and have all this special Delia stuff? No. No, all I've got is some dripping in the chip pan. That'll do, he said. Exactly. So he went and got a little bit of dripping out of the chip pan.
Yeah.
Now it's a little bit of a, I'm not going to anoint anybody with chip pan tonight. Chip pan tonight. But do you get my point? It's not what the oil is, but what it represents, and it is an aid to faith. It helps us to remember. It helps us to make that connection. And Jesus is so willing for us and eager for us to receive healing into our lives. He will do everything and anything to help us make that faith connection. So, nothing special about the oil, but it helps us make that faith connection that the healing oil of the Holy Spirit is soothing my aches and pains and bringing restoration into my life. It is the Holy Spirit bringing healing and power to my weakness. So if any among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So it's in the name of the Lord. Nothing to do with the oil again. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Now, here's something else that we need to point out, because often when people might be prayed for, and you've got some prayer ministers who are a little bit insensitive to the situation, and they pray for you, and You walk out the door and they say, have you still got the pain, wherever you had the pain? And they say, yes, the pain's worse than ever, though. And they say, well, you haven't got enough faith to be healed. You know, if only you throw away your walking sticks, you'd be all right. Yeah. Well, if they said that, these prayer ministers shouted out to that person as they went out the door, what would you say to them? Because whose prayer is it that is doing the saving of the sick here? Whose prayer is it? Is it the recipient or is it the prayer? The people that are praying. So you could turn around and say to them, well, actually, it's you that ain't got the faith. But of course, as we've talked about it over the weeks, you know, it's not about pointing the finger who hasn't and who has got faith. It's recognising that we need more faith and that we've all got learning plates on and we all need to learn how to receive more of that faith from the Holy Spirit and be inspired by the Holy Spirit so that we're at that point where we pray with faith and receive with faith. Whenever healing is manifest, there has to be a connection of faith. Sometimes we are too weak to pray. That's when you have to rely on the faith of others. You know, in the morning when Paul was stoned to death at Lystra. You know, he couldn't pray a prayer of faith. It had to be exercised on behalf of others had to exercise it on his behalf. So that he could receive the healing and he was raised up. Okay. All right. It's the prayer of faith, not the oil that makes a difference, but the oil reminds us that the Holy Spirit is the one who brings healing and is our aid of faith. Okay. And lastly, and the prayer of faith will raise faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. And this is where commentators have a field day. Because they say, it just proves that everybody who is sick, it's a result of some sin in their life. Now, let me clarify what I'm saying here. And ultimately, all sickness is a result of sin. Ultimately, because the fact that sin entered into the world, sickness and death entered into the world. So it's true to say that sickness is a result of sin, but we're talking about generally now. So when you get to the cross, as Chris has reminded us this evening, Jesus, when he died on the cross, he took the sin, he took our sin upon himself, and he got victory over sin, and because he got victory over sin, he got victory over the power of sickness in our lives as well. So that is true, that which I have said. But then is it true that you've sinned and therefore it's a result, you've got cancer because you've sinned? That's not right. That's not the way that things work. Sin is not a barrier to God healing us anyway. So let's move on. Okay. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So what does this mean? Sin does prevent us from receiving our healing. God is not reluctant to heal us because of sin, but sin prevents us from receiving a healing. Everybody who was healed by Jesus was a sinner. But sin stops us receiving our healing. Why is that? Because of the guilt conscience that we have. The enemy gets his foot in the door and he says, you are not worthy to receive. You are not worthy to receive anything that God has for you because you are a sinner. And so when in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were there and they had sinned, God wanted to communicate with them. God wanted to talk with them, but their sin conscience made them hide so that they were unable to receive that communication or to have that conversation that God wanted to have with them. And so when James reminds us the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed his sins, he will be forgiven, it is a reminder in this prayer that your sins are forgiven and that your sins are no barrier to you receiving your healing. So, James tells us, is any one of you sick? Anyone sick? Any sickness? Let them call, as a step of faith, the elders, those who are in the church who believe in healing. And they will pray over you a prayer of faith, so that that switch is flipped, so that the connection of faith is made. They will anoint you with oil that will help you receive an aid to your faith. And you'll be reminded that sin doesn't get in the way of God healing you, because God is more eager to heal you than you imagine. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, that you are eager to heal and that you've made all these different ways for us to receive your healing, because you want it to make it easy for us to receive. And so, Lord, tonight, even as we conclude this meeting, I, Father, pray that we would be recognize your willingness to heal us, and that we would receive everything that you have for us. In Jesus' name. Amen.